Chasing Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Monday. We say hello to our good buddy, former Titans punter Brett Kern, who's on the line with us. Brett, what's up? It's been a while.
I know. It's been pretty crazy. Kind of had the flu kind of run around our house, and last week went up to D.C. to the NFLPA building to have some meetings. So, after yesterday's events, it's a pretty sad day. So I just don't know if I'll even be participating in watching the Niners versus Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl.
So why do you say that? Why is it such a sad day? You're tired of seeing the love that is Kelce and Taylor Swift?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think. I mean, in 2019, you know, losing an Arrowhead to Mahomes was pretty tough. And then last year, you know, sitting in the locker room thinking I was that close to the Super Bowl ring and the apparent injured Mahomes, you know, obviously did his thing in the second half and you know, was sitting on the sidelines after the game watching the yellow and red confetti come down. And it was pretty tough. So I've seen Mahomes do that to a lot of people. And yesterday, you know, doing it in Baltimore the week before, doing it in Buffalo. It's just, I mean, you got to give him props. I mean, the guy just, he wins. And I think a lot of people counted out the Chiefs early in the year with their struggles and just didn't look like the normal Chiefs. But obviously him and Kelce finding their connection, you know, that they have for so long, and Rashee Rice kind of developing into that number one. And that defense is stingy, right? Baltimore's defense is stingy. So is Kansas City. And they just, you know, they got to Lamar pretty good yesterday.
Do you think that Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL right now?
I mean, who else would be above him, in your opinion?
I don't think there is one.
So. I mean, just the consistency that they've been able to, you know, you feel like the season's done with. You just need to go to Vegas and put $100 on Kansas City to win the Super Bowl the next year. It's just, they're just kind of automatic. And what he's been able to, you know, provide there with the culture and the players he's been able to get. It just amazes me how, you know, you look on offense, they have a great offensive line, right? Starts in the trenches. And then besides that, you have a 6-round draft pick in Pacheco who runs like he's on fire. and then, you know, you got a Rashee Rice that, you know, I mean, I remember earlier in the year, they were talking about how bad their offense was because they were dropping the ball, right? Tons of drops. And so to see them kind of how they developed throughout the year, and then they got hot when you needed to get hot, right? End of November, December, they were playing their best football. And then obviously here they are now in the Super Bowl.
Brett, you've been involved in two championship games, 2019, of course, 2022 last year with the Eagles. Well, what's the feeling like on the bus on the way to the stadium? And because the known is known, right? I mean, you know that the Super Bowl is at hand, but what's that feeling like? And is that bus ride any different than week two?
Yeah, it's I mean, week one is probably, you know, when you start the season, everything's, you know, real deal, you know, the hype around it. Usually something crazy goes on in week one, you know, some special teams type play. It's just kind of crazy, right? And you're trying to figure out what's what, right? What teams are coming out with a hot start and what teams just aren't meeting expectations off the bat. So week one, there's a ton of nerves. You're just kind of ready to get the season rolling. You know, throughout the season, you get into a good rhythm, good routine, right? You still get nervous for games and get hyped up, but you know, it's not like that week one emotions. And obviously when you get into the playoffs, each, you know, from the wild card round to divisional to then the championship game, you know, the nerves get more. They get more more tension, more hype. I remember Kansas City was, you know, that bus ride was, I mean, it was crazy. You just, you know, you're pulling into the stadium and at Arrowhead, and, you know, the amount of tailgaters are spread across their whole parking lot, you know, coming all the way over to the baseball stadium, and the parking lot is just full, Chiefs flags everywhere. And you're just like, man, we're playing an AFC championship game. We win this, we're going to the Super Bowl, right? And then, you know, last year in Philly, you know, I drove, you know, the hotel to the stadium was only a mile away, right? So it was a very short drive, but it took me a half hour because, once again, all the tailgaters, all the Eagles flags, you know, flying all over the place. And there's just this, you know, you know, you win this game, you go to the Super Bowl. And so the nerves and the excitement, the anticipation, it's something that, you know, obviously never experience again, and it's something that you can really never recreate unless you go do it.
What was the and to bring up, I mean, I know the 2019, you guys went on that great run in the playoffs and lost the championship game to Kansas City. What was it like afterwards, kind of the locker room and the mood? I know it was sad and upset, but the fact you guys, I mean, nobody, Brett, thought you guys would be there. Was it a feeling like we were so close? Were you upset? What was the emotions at the time?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, obviously didn't think we were going to be there. I think after, it's probably honestly kind of how the Lions feel. We weren't kind of in that position that the Lions were yesterday, but it's just, you go out there, you have a really good first half, and then Mahomes does this one play, right, where he has that scramble for, you know, 30 plus yards, scores a touchdown, and you're just like, okay, what just happened here, right? And you feel like, you know, you're on the road, you got all this momentum, and then he just comes in and throws a dagger, right? And it's kind of like yesterday, you know, they were talking about, you know, Dan Campbell goes for a fourth down. That's how you be aggressive. You know, he's sticking to his thing. And I'm thinking, like, wait a second. You're in San Francisco. It's a hard place to play. And you have an opportunity to kick a field goal to go up three scores, right, in the third quarter for a team that's 1-30, right, and comeback wins. Like, that is a tall order to be down three scores, you know, midway through the third quarter. And so, obviously, going for it, yeah, if you get it, big deal. You can, you know, analyze it the day after. But, you know, people are talking about analytics and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, well, analytics doesn't really account for the emotion, right? The dagger that Detroit could have put in San Francisco going up three scores in the third quarter. So, you know, Detroit's probably like, man, we had this game. And I think for us, when we were in Kansas City, it was like, man, we had this game, right? And Mahomes just did this play and totally switched momentum. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting in the locker room like, man, we were so close to going to the Super Bowl and just we couldn't pull it off.
Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter. Now, you texted me this morning and said you had a stat. What is it?
Oh, it's a fascinating stat. So we'll go – well, the former ball coach of the Tennessee Titans, not Terry Moore, he preached about, you know, this one stat that you always kind of talk about, and it was the QBR, the rushing yards, and the turnovers, right? If we can win that stat, right, if we can go 2-1, 3-0, like we're going to win the game. And I remember when he talked about it, I was like, yeah, okay, coach, that's a great stat, right? I mean, who knows what will happen, right? So, of course, you know, yesterday I've been kind of keeping track with the Titans all season. And yesterday the Chiefs, they won all three. So they went 3-0. And on top of it, Baltimore gave up, had eight penalties for 95 yards, right? Lost the game. Okay. So I looked back at the Titans. When the Titans went 3-0 or 2-1, they were 5-6. They won five games out of the six that they won. And the only outlier was that Miami game, which, in theory, they lost all three. They lost the QBR, they lost the rushing, and they lost the turnover battle. But somehow, you know, they won the game, which is – that'll happen, right? You'll have one of those kind of every year. And sure. So, you know, the Titans, when they went 0-3 or 1-2 in that stat, right, they lost eight of those 11 games. Two of the games they tied, Seattle and the Colts game. They both split. In essence, they tied the turnover battle. One won the rushing, the other one won the QBR, right? So they went 1-1 in essence, and they tied. But if you look at it, if you go to a deeper stat on top of that, the Colts, they had that, remember that block punt, right, that turned into a touchdown. So that's really the equivalent of a turnover. It's not going to count as one. But in theory, I look at it like, hey, the Titans kind of went 1-2 in that situation and losing the turnover battle. In Seattle, they tied it 1-1. But you look at the penalties and the Titans – you know, had almost 100 yards of penalties, right? And so that's, in essence, giving up. Like Baltimore did yesterday, you kind of gave Mahomes 100 free yards of offense, right? Well, the Titans, in essence, gave Geno Smith, you know, about 100 yards of free offense. So it was just one of those stats I was looking at. It's like, yeah, you kind of look at it, whatever, no big deal. And then each year I've kind of been keeping track of it. I'm like, man, this is spot on for kind of what the record is. And you could just go, if you don't watch the game, you could go look at those three stats, throw them up, compare each other, and it's pretty spot on. So it's just something that I've been kind of tracking. And, you know, those games yesterday, Detroit and San Francisco, they both went 1-1. They had the same amount of turnovers, went 1-1, very, very close QBR, very, very close rushing. But then for me, I look at it, hey, you know, on fourth down twice, you decide to go for it instead of taking potential 6 points. One of those three turned into – not going for 3 points to go up three scores. Instead, San Francisco comes back down, scores a touchdown. Now it's a one-score game, and you've lost pretty much all momentum that you've had for the whole first half.
Oh, man, that's really good.
What a stat.
Right? Right, they should hire you now with that stat. Hey, what was I wanted to get your thoughts on the punt yesterday in the Baltimore-Kansas City game. I forget which punter it was, but I think he launched one 70 yards, Brett. You remember what I'm talking about in the second half?
Yeah, that might have been the one that I didn't see just out of pure being upset of what was transpiring in the game. I probably took my dog out to go to the bathroom.
So, How dare you?
See that punt. But, yeah, that does happen a lot. You know, those rules, that's kind of the killer, that illegal touching. I remember when we were in the playoff game, you know, at Baltimore that one year, and it had that punt that was, you know, landed on like the 15 and it went down to about the 5. And Dane Cruikshank, you know, was a great gunner and he touched it. Well, he was the first one that went out of bounds and then came back in and touched it, right? It's an illegal touching. So here we are. I'm like, bam, ball at the 5-yard line. Defense is going to stop him. Let's roll. Well, it's a penalty. Turns out it counts as a touchback, and then they get the ball to 20, and it's just like, oh, man, you know? And so that stuff kind of happens. Everything happens so quick, you know, especially on special teams and whatnot. And you look at that onside kick yesterday, you know, by Detroit. I mean, yeah, it was illegal touching, but, you know, if he catches that thing on the 10 and there's that massive collision, you know, who knows what would happen. So,
you know what's funny is about you bring up the onside kick. They said the stat for Justin Tucker for onside kicks in his career, he was 1 for 17. He might be the best kicker of all time, and he's 1 for 17 in an onside kick.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to think an onside kick is about a 3 to 4% chance of getting it, right? So the percentages are extremely low. And for me, like Rob Baronis probably had one of the best high bounces, kind of what Badgley did yesterday, where he, you know, that ball goes straight into the ground and then it pops up, right? And I remember Rob, when he would do it, he'd be able to get almost 2.5-3 seconds of hang time on that pop, right? Which was unbelievable. And then you go and you start talking to Rob about it. He's like, yeah, I've only gotten one out of like, you know, 15. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. So it's such a low percentage chance play. And honestly, a lot of times there's some of the worst collisions I've ever seen in my career on that on the onside kick. So hopefully the NFL, as much as I like the onside kick and kind of, you know, all the things that you can do with it, it's really such a low percentage chance that you kind of want, you know, something else, you know, 4th and 15 or something crazy like that, you know, instead of a play that's only a 3 or 4% chance. So
I forget which coach it was, said he wanted his kicker, it might have been high school, that for an onside kick, kick as hard as you can at the guy in front of you, the up guy. I mean, the guy on the front line, because they can't catch. It hits him, it bounces off, and then you guys got a great shot. The odds, again, are slim, but I always like that kind of mentality on the onside kick.
Absolutely. I think, you know, since they changed the rules, now you got to be 5x5. You can't overload a side or anything like that. The 5x5, it's pretty standard with how you defend it and then how you obviously go about trying to get it. But back when you could overload, you know, do a 6x4 or something like that, a lot of times the other team would put two guys right in the center to kind of defend that bunt, like where the kicker could just tap it and maybe go 10 yards. And usually the kicker gets killed, which is, you know, not great either. Been there before. But, sometimes they say, hey, if they got two guys and they're close, I remember Rob also, he would just be like, man, I'm going to try to pelt one of these guys, right? And that's not a great feeling, knowing that you got an NFL kicker trying to kick a ball as hard as he can and you're only 10 yards away, right? And you have to somewhat – your body naturally goes into the full defense mode and it hits you, and then, you know, who knows what happens.
Hey, Brett, real quick, what did you think about Brian Callahan hired as the Titans coach?
I think it's going to be really good. I think you get somebody in there that's offensive, you know, just kind of hearing some things that he said, and, you know, he kind of has plan A, B, and C going into a game. And, you know, and if they're running Tampa 2 or they're doing, you know, match man, you know, he can go to plan B or plan C. And so I think it's a really good opportunity for him, and he listens to his players, right? You know, you hear Joe Burrow talk. And so I think, you know, the opportunity for Will to develop as quarterback under somebody like that, where he can come back to the sidelines and say, hey, you know, I'm seeing this. Do you think we could do this or this, right, to beat this man coverage or to beat this zone coverage, whatever? And he listens. So I think that's huge. And I think, you know, just kind of having those defined roles, I think you and I were talking about, Chase, just, you know, between Rand and kind of, you know, with the football operations and, you know, with Brian being able to do what he has to do and Chad doing what he does, like, it's, you know, there's defined roles, right? And I think that's really huge, because anytime – you know, communication breaks down and, you know, guys start pointing fingers, obviously it kind of turns out what just happened. So I think it's good. I'm excited, you know, for the guys, mainly for the players that, you know, can kind of voice their opinions and kind of what they see and what they think, and somebody will listen, you know, and plan accordingly to what his players are saying. So I'm excited for it, see what happens. And obviously it's, you know, great for him and Rand to be in this position of, you know, free agency and, you know, draft class. And I really do think that, you know, if you draft right and you get the right free agents and the right guys in, you know, I think you can probably turn this ship around pretty quickly. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. That is for sure. Brett, good stuff as always. Good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Y'all take care.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us. We'll wrap up hour number one next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.